very exciting to start Maseches Kiddushin. Maseches Kiddushin is Rabbi Kamenetsky's favorite Masechta, I think he likes to say. It's a very, very enjoyable limud. We're going to try to cover as many sugyas throughout the Masechta as we can, but we're going to start at the beginning, and we're going to go through the first couple of days. I just really want to give introductory type of shiurim to introduce you to certain basic concepts that we're going to be using over the course of the entire year. Maseches Kiddushin is the last Masechta in Seder Nashim. It obviously, as its name suggests, deals primarily with the inyanim of kiddushin, of getting married. It's called kiddushin because, meaning, why do we call marriage kiddushin as opposed to anything else? So it's called kiddushin because the woman becomes asral kala olam kehegdish, that the function of kiddushin, of the first part of marriage that we call kiddushin, is it makes a woman usher to everybody else. She's not yet mutaris to her husband when she has kiddushin. You have to wait for nisuin for that. So since its main function is that it makes her like hegdish to everybody else, so that's why we call it kiddushin. In fact, in the Hamak Davar, in the Netziv, in Bamidbar Perakei, Pasuk Yud Beis, he explains that since it says about the Torah, about the Sota in the Torah, umma'al abo ma'al, in Parashas Naso, so we learn from there that what's the lashon mi'ila? Mi'ila is the type of expression you would use when describing hegdish. So we see that there is some sort of connection between hegdish, the Yisra of hegdish, and the Isra of an Ashes Ish, a woman who is Mikudeshes, who has this Kiddushin. Now, Maseches Kiddushin, as we said, is the last Masechta in Seder Nashim. If you were to figure, if you were to have arranged Shas on your own, where in Seder Nashim would you have put Kiddushin? So, well, first you would want to ask, what else is in Seder Nashim? Let's see what, you know, where it belongs. Well, Maseches Ksuvos is in Seder Nashim, so would Kiddushin go before or after Ksuvos? When does the Ksuva become operative? So the Ksuva only becomes operative at Nisuin. That's afterwards. Kiddushin is earlier. Or how about this? Maseches Gittin is in Seder Nashim. Which one should come first, Gittin or Kiddushin? So the Chora, Kiddushin should come before Gittin. You can't have a get unless there was a Kiddushin. Then the whole Gittin is not Shayach if there's no marriage. So Kiddushin L'chorah should come before Gittin. Maseches Sota. What about Maseches Sota? A woman can only become a Sota if she's married. So the whole Maseches Sota should only be after Maseches Kiddushin. Nedarim. Why is Nedarim in Seder Nashim to begin with? Nedarim is all about Nedarim. Because once a woman is married, there are all these laws about what her husband can do with her Nedarim. So that also is after, should be after Kiddushim. Kiddushin. Nazir is really a Kachem Masechta, just happens to be plopped in the middle of Seder Nashim. That's a different story. So you have all of these Masechtas, none of them belong before Kiddushin, and yet they're all before Kiddushin. So why is it that Kiddushin is arranged as the last of the Masechtas in Seder Nashim? So the Rambam in the Akdama to the Perush HaMishnayos deals with this, because he deals with the order of all of the Masechtas and Shas and tries to explain why they are where they are. And he says that since the Torah says in this past week's Parsha, because of law, Sefer Krisus, that a guy gets divorced, how does he get divorced from his wife? He writes her a get, a Sefer Krisus, v'nasan biyada, he gives it in her hand, v'shilcham ibeso, and he sends her out from his house, v'yatsa mibeso, she leaves his house, v'holcha v'haisa li'ishacher, she goes and she becomes married to another man. So you see from there that first we have giving the get, and then v'haisa li'ishacher, then havaya, then v'haisa, which is the lashon of kiddushin. So since the Torah mentioned get before kiddushin, even though obviously get doesn't mean anything without having a previous kiddushin, but the Torah only introduced us to gittin, to kiddushin, after it told us about a get, so the Torah Shebal Peh is patterned after the Torah Shebichsav, and it also puts kiddushin after gittin. That's how the Rambam explains. The problem with that explanation of the Rambam is that that's not really the first time the Torah tells us about kiddushin. The Torah tells us, Ki yikach ish isha uva Allah, v'haya im lo simtza chen ba'enav, ki matzava ervas davar, v'kasav la sefer krisus v'nasam yadav v'shilchem yibesav. Meaning, the previous words, if you just go back, I started like into the parsha already, just go back a little bit further, it doesn't just describe a person getting divorced. It says, ki yikach ish isha, when a man takes a woman. That is kiddushin. So it first says kiddushin, then it says divorce, then it says remarriage. So it's very difficult to accept the Rambam's explanation that the Torah introduces us to Gittin before it introduces us to Kiddushin. It's not true. The Torah introduces us to Kiddushin first. So again, we're back to our kasha. If we have, I mean, it's not really back to our kasha. Kasha on the Rambam. What was the Rambam saying? Why would we put Kiddushin after Gittin based on the Torah? It doesn't seem that really works. So in the Sefer Chidushei Mahariach, I saw quoted in the Hakdamah to the Mesiftan Meseches Kiddushin, he quotes the Sefer Chidushei Mahariach, who suggests a different approach based on the Rambam in his introduction to Meseches Yevamos, that the reason that we start Seder Nashim with Meseches Yevamos is because Yibum is something we can force someone to do. So we want to start with that which we have the most control over the person. Gittin comes before Kiddushin because get can be done bal karcha. Sometimes we do kfiya on a get. We'll force even the husband. Not only can get be done bal karcha the isha, sometimes we'll even force the husband to give a get. But we never find kfiya by Kiddushin. We never find anywhere that someone is forced into Kiddushin. So since we exert less control over the process of Kiddushin, that's why it's last in the Seder. A third possibility, in the Tosas Chadashim, he says that the Tana is trying to be merames to what Shmuel says in Maseches Yevamos and Daf Samech Aleph, that if a person has a lot of children already, he's already been Mekayim Pruravu, the Gemara says still, Lo Tov Hayos Adam Levado, it says in Chumash, a person should not stay unmarried, they should still get married, because the HaKadosh Baruch Hu made an Ezer Kenegdo, there is value in marriage other than having children, even though Ein Isha El Banim, the Gemara says in Yevamos, the primary value of marriage is having children, and that's something that's a very important hashkafa to know, and I always try to tell this to guys before you start dating, when you should realize that when you're questioning, am I ready to start dating, am I not ready to start dating, one of the things you should ask yourself is, am I ready to be a parent? Because when you get married, you're getting married to start a family. That should be the primary goal, and there are a lot of other really wonderful, great things that happen in marriage. You have a soulmate, you have someone you can connect to, you have someone you can confide in, you have this amazing connection, all these great things. Lo tov hayos adam levado is absolutely true, and it's one of the wonderful goals, but the primary goal, Ein Isha El Lebanim, is to create a Jewish family and continue our Masorah. So that should be the primary goal of marriage. However, it's not the only goal. And since it's not the only goal, the Gemara says, even if one already has children, he's already been Mekayim Pruravu, and even if he's not interested in having more children, he doesn't want to have any more children, still, he should get married again. Now, you should get married again because the Gemara also says you should always want to have more children, because the Gemara says that the mitzvah of Puruvu is only to have one son, one daughter, right? That's Machlokes Beis Shammai in the Beis Hillel, what the mitzvah of Puruvu is. Anyone know what Beis Shammai sheet is? We don't pass on Beis Shammai. Beis Hillel says one son, one daughter. What's Beis Shammai? Beis Shammai says two sons. Where does Beis Shammai get two sons from? Why would two sons be Puruvu? So he says, who is the greatest Jew that ever lived? Moshe Rabbeinu, let's say. Right? So Moshe Rabbeinu. How many children Moshe Rabbeinu have? Two sons. And then what? Maybe he tried for more. No, he didn't. He separated from his wife. Right? He left his wife after two sons. Where's your mitzvah? How could you ignore Puruvu? So Beis Shammai says, you see, the Puruvu is only two sons. Beis Hillel says, no, we learn from Briyaso Shalola that the purpose of Puruvu is to populate the world. God wanted to populate the world, so you know what he put here? One boy, one girl. I was going to say one son. We don't believe in the Son of God. No, but one boy, one girl, when God wanted to populate the world. So Beis Hillel learns from Briyaso Shalolam that you have one boy, one girl. Right? That's the Beis Hillel's opinion. We pass on the Beis Hillel, one boy, one girl. Beyond that, it's not Puruvu, but there's still a Kiyum. The Gemara says, V'boker zora zorecho la'erev al tanach yedecha. That even though a person has children when they're young, la'erev, in the evening of life, when they get older, they should still continue to try to have children. Rav Shachter quotes a Ramban in the Milchamos that that's only a Midas Chasidus. That's not a requirement. That's a Midas Chasidus to have more children later on. It's an appropriate thing to do, a good thing to do. You never know where you're going to get the most nachas, the Gemara says. Maybe it's from the kids that you have, that you're going to have later on in life. Remember, I couldn't believe you said this. Rav Shefta said this in Shir. He said, it looks like my youngest son, Shai, is going to be a much bigger Talmud Chacham than all the others. So you never know where the nachas is going to... So, he's pretty good. So you never know where the greatest nachas is going to come from. So it's always good to want to have more children. But based on that line, the Gemara Yivam Samach Aleph, that even if you already have a lot of children, lo tov yosodim vado, you need an ezer kenegdo. Says maybe that's why we have kiddushin after gittin, to let a person know that even if you had a bad experience already and you already were married, you already have a whole family, you already had your children, there should still be another kiddushin. Even after the gittin, there should still be a person should look to get married. Okay, these are different possibilities. Not really sure, but these are the possibilities of why kiddushin is after gittin.
What if there's like a medical thing that you're not able to have children?
So then, you're anus rachman apatri, you can't do the mitzvah. So,
would you be allowed to get married?
Oh, definitely allowed to get married for sure. A woman doesn't have a mitzvah approval. The question is, can a man marry a woman who's medically not able to have children? Because that's a bittul mitzvah of puravu. So that's something that really, it's a major halachic issue. That's a problem for a man to marry a woman who's unable to have children if he doesn't have any children from any previous marriages. So that's a much more challenging problem. Rav Shlomo Kluger writes that if you have a couple that's already married, see, Meikra din Shulchan Aruch Paskins, if you have a couple that's already married, 10 years, no children, they should get divorced. Because the guy's got to do his mitzvah peruvus. He's got to get married to someone else. The Ramah already writes in Shulchan Aruch, we're not knowing that way anymore. We're not knowing to force people to do that. It used to be that Bezin would be kofa someone. You have to get divorced, you have to do your mitzvah. So we're not knowing to get involved in that kind of thing anymore, the Ramah writes. Rav Shlomo Kluger writes, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Rav Shlomo Kluger writes in Ebn Ezer that if a couple discovers that they're unable to have children, they should adopt children, because it's a partial mitzvah of puravu even to adopt a child, to raise a child. And Rav Shechter points out that you see from here that the mitzvah of puravu is not just to produce a child, but it's also part of the mitzvah is to raise a child. That's very nogeya to cases where a couple doesn't feel that they're going to be able to provide for a child properly. Should you say, well, the mitzvah is not to provide for them, the mitzvah is just to, you know, the mitzvah is just to have the child. So Rav Shech says, no, the mitzvah is, part of the mitzvah is to be able to provide for the child emotionally, physically, whatever the child needs. If you can't do that, then you can't do puravu. It's like being unable to produce a child. So maybe we'll have a temen alach shir on that. I get that child, a lot of people have the question of, I can't afford another yeshiva tuition. So is that a factor in deciding not to have another child? You just say bitachon. I should have bitachon. The Ribbono Shel Olam is going to take care that will all work out. A very challenging question to deal with. Okay, now this Masechta deals primarily with four topics in the whole Masechta, but there are a lot of smaller topics that come up that we're going to try to touch on as well. The four primary topics are Kiddushin, all the details of doing a Maisa Kiddushin, of creating that first step of marriage. Second primary topic is Avadim, how to be Kona Avadim, and all the Dinim of an Eved Ivri, an Ame Ivriya, an Eved Kanani, all the Dinim of Avadim. We're probably not going to do so many of the Avadim Sugyas this year. The third topic is Kinyanim in general, buying and selling karka, metaltalin, a lot of chosh and mishpat related issues. And the fourth topic is yichus related issues. Now, in the yichus related sugyas that we have at the end of the Masechta, we also get to yichud. Yichud is the very last couple of dapim of the Masechta, which is also, I spent in Keli 3 weeks on Yichud, that we could spend a lot of time on Yichud. Yichud is also a fascinating topic. So we're going to come across also Chiyuv Nashim and Mitzvahs, Kibud Avim, Shlichus, all sorts of really wonderful topics that come up throughout the Masechta. But just a little bit of an introduction to the concept of Kiddushin first. The Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Yishus that before Matan Torah, how would a person get married? Was there just no concept of marriage before the Torah told us ki yikach ish isha, that there's a din of kiddushin? No, there was a concept of marriage. The way it would work is a person would meet a girl and he would, club her over the head and drag her back. No, he would meet, and they would decide that they want to live together, that they're going to have a relationship where they're going to, you know, be with each other, and that's it. That was it. If they both wanted to be together, he'd be machnis lebeso, he'd be boler leshevishus, and she was called his wife, and that was it. She was then became usher to the rest of the world mishum eishes ish, because she has become miyuchad specifically for that person. The migdalos in the beginning of Hilchasishus writes that you see that from the pasuk in Bereishis. Lama amarta achosi hi ve'akachu sali liisha. You see, at the time of the lekicha, she's already called ishto. She's already called his wife. That as soon as they decide, she's gonna move into his house. They're gonna live together. So that's already ishus. But then the Torah was given, and the Torah formalized the way that one gets married. It's no longer just, hey, you want to be married? Sure, let's be married. Okay, married. It doesn't work that way anymore. Nowadays, it involves more of a formal act. And that's and if one just decides to live with a woman and do the Kodem Matan Torah kind of ishus, let's just move in together, that would be a violation, according to the Rambam Shita, at least in Parak Aleph Halacha Dalet Hilchos Ishus, of Losia Kedesha Mibnos Yisrael. It's a violation of Kedesha. It's an Isser in the Torah that one is not allowed to move in with a woman and live with a woman, even in a way that they're not going to be with anybody else. That's a violation of Losia Kedesha. The Ravid disagrees that that's a violation of Losia Kedesha, but that's the Shitas HaRambam. Now, so we have a mitzvah. Well, whether it's a mitzvah or not, that should be a whole separate shir, but we have at least an Indian, potentially a mitzvah, called Kiddushin. As you saw in the first Mishnah, Kiddushin is very clearly defined. What I want to discuss, either today or maybe we won't get to it today, maybe tomorrow, is there are two parts to marriage. There's what? There's Kiddushin and Nisuin, right? Kiddushin. How do you do Kiddushin? You don't need to know that much of Maseches Kiddushin to know how to do Kiddushin. Your first Seder, learning Maseches Kiddushin, your first 5 minutes, you learned how to do Kiddushin, right? Kiddushin is in three ways. Ha'isha Niknes, Bishlosh Adrachim. The first Mishnah starts out, right? A woman can be acquired with Kiddushin in three ways. V'konez Hasmim Shedrachim, Niknes, V'kesef, V'shtar, U'bibia. Three ways to do Kiddushin. And that's clear, that you only need to know the first two lines in the Masechta to know how to do Kiddushin. How do you do Nisuin? You can learn the whole Masechta, backwards and forwards. And Ksuvis and Gittin and all Seder Nashim, backwards and forwards. And you know what? The Mishnah, neither the Mishnah nor the Gemara ever says how you do Nisuin. It talks about Nisuin. Here's with the halachos that apply once Nisuin happens. Never a word about what makes Nisuin, which is beyond strange. No? There are two parts to marriage. One is so clearly defined, and the other one is, you know, pareich bavir. It's so hard to pin down what exactly it is. And you have machlokes in the Rishonim about how do you define it? What is it? Very, very strange. So what we're going to talk about is what the differences in halacha are between Kiddushin and Nisuin. A woman's an Eshes Ish HaKiddushin, she's an Eshes Ish and Nisuin. So what changes exactly when Nisuin is done? Whatever Nisuin is, when it's done, what exactly changes? We're going to get to that. But first, let's focus a little bit on Kiddushin. Kiddushin is done in three ways. First way is Kesef. How is that done? So the Mishnah says, you give a pruta or something that's worth a pruta, and you say, Hareyat Mekudesh Asli, B'tabazu, B'kesef Zeh, whatever it is that you're giving her, you identify the object, and you say, Hareyat Mekudesh Asli. The Raman, Simon Chav Zayin, writes that Yesh Omrim, that you should say, Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. That's our minag. We say Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. We do like the Ramah. So when you get married, you say Arei Mekedesh B'Tavazu Kedas Moshe V'Yisrael. Whoever your Masada Kiddushin is likely going to have a little piece of paper that you create off of, because you can be too nervous. You probably won't even remember your own name. So you want to make sure that you could do it mindlessly, so you'll be able to read it off a piece of paper. L'chadchila, we don't use actual matbea shel kesef. We don't actually use a coin for Kiddushin. The Beis Shmuel writes this in Ebenezer Simulam and Hay in the name of the Mordechai, not to use a coin. And the reason is because the woman is going to be thinking that of its value as currency as opposed to its value as a metal, as a precious metal. She's going to be thinking that she's mekudeshes to you because of the value of the currency, and currencies change sometimes. Sometimes they cancel an old currency, the old shekel, the new shekel, right? The countries sometimes decide that an old currency becomes invalid, it's no longer legal tender. And therefore, if it's no longer legal tender, it may be a psul in the kiddushin. So that's what he quotes from Mordechai. So we don't use coins. We use an actual metal that doesn't have any images or anything on it, that has its own inherent value. And the Rama writes, not just any metal, our minhag is, Rama writes in Simcha Zayin, to use a ring. Why? It has reasons, al pi kabbalah, tikkuni zohar, things like that, that we dafka use a ring. Chinuch says that the reason we use a ring is because it's something you can wear. And the whole point of the kiddushin is that the woman should always remember that she's committed to this man, is to have full commitment to this one man. So it's much easier to feel committed when you're constantly reminded of the commitment. So if she's walking around, she's always wearing her ring, so she's always reminded of that commitment. So that's why the minig is to wear a ring. L'chora, then she should always wear the ring, right? Yeah.
So why do many men not wear rings?
So the halacha is a man is allowed to be married to more than one woman. So, I mean, first of all...
But nowadays we don't
do that. But this is all explaining the reason for why the minig was. Whether it's actually true or not, you know, as why this minig developed, I don't know. But the halacha is on a daraisa level, a man is allowed to marry more than one woman, so therefore that same level of halachic commitment isn't there. There's a question, is a man allowed to wear a wedding band? What would be the issue? We should do Tamil al-Khashi on that. I don't think I ever did one of that. So what would be the issue? Did I? No idea. What would be the issue of a man wearing a wedding band? So it would be a question of l'yilbash, right? Which l'chor it's not, because it's made for a man. What other issue might there be for a man to wear a wedding band? Darkei Amori, that it's a minig that comes from the Gayim. Okay, so what to discuss? L'chor, there's no issue of a man wearing a wedding band. I remember Rabbi Willig told us, he spoke when I was in the Sy Sim School of Business. I was a finance major. So Rabbi Willig spoke to the business undergrads, and he told us... people were asking about wearing yarmulkes in the office. And he said that in certain, you have to know your workplace. In certain places, if you wear a yarmulke, you're going to be the target of discrimination, and you're not going to even get the job in the first place. And he said, so they also asked him about wedding bands, and he was saying that you have to know your workplace, and in certain workplaces, it really helps. That women won't flirt with you if you're wearing a wedding band. They'll respect it. Whereas it would be much more challenging if you're not wearing a wedding band. So I just remember the imagery, because he described when you go into the office, you take the yarmulke off and put the wedding band on. You go out of the office, wedding band off, and the yarmulke back on. Okay. So that's the kiddushei kesef. Kiddushei kesef we do with a ring. We do and it's harei mekadesh lebitvazu kedas Moshe v'Yisrael. Kiddushei shtar is you write on a shtar and you give in front of Edom and say on the shtar harei mekadesh li. It says the same thing on the shtar. The shtar doesn't have to be worth anything, but the shtar has to be written l'shem that isha. I mean, you can't just write a shtar now. Well, I'm start dating, so I might as well just write up a shtar. Harei mekadesh li, and whoever it is, I'll give it to. No, it has to be written l'shem that isha. Why? Why does it have to be written l'shem that isha? Because that's halacha by a get. The kasav law, sefer priests, we darshan the kasav law l'shma. And Makish Havaya Yitzir, which is a concept we're going to have a lot, that we compare the laws of Gittin to the laws of Kiddushin a lot. So a lot of the dinim of Kiddushin are derived from the dinim of Gittin. This is one of them. That just like a get has to be written l'shem that woman, the Kiddushin also has to be written l'shem that woman. It has to be written midaita. That's what we learn from the connection between Gittin and Kiddushin. One of the many things we learn. Third type of Kiddushin is Kiddushei Bia. Kiddushei Bia is a guy goes alone in the room with the woman, and he has Bia with her, and he says to her in front of Edim, Harea Mekudeshes Li B'Bia Zu. There's always an Amira involved. So he says, Hareya Mekadesh Li B'Biyazu, and he does that and in front of Edim. Discussion is shown him what has to be in front of Edim. Does the Bia have to be in front of Edim, or only the Yichud in front of Edim, the Yichud and the Amira, that I'm about to be Boel you, and he says the Amira of Hareya Mekadesh Li B'Biyazu in front of the Edim. The Rashi Maseches Gittin Daf Pei Aleph and Beis assumes that only the Yichud needs to be in front of Edim. The Bia would not need to be in front of Edim. The Gemar Bia is what ultimately creates the Kinyan. Oh, no, there's no kiddushin whatsoever. No, by an onus, that doesn't create a sense of kiddushin at all. A woman can be mekudeshes in any of these three ways. Are any of them preferred over the other? Or any of them not preferred? So what would you imagine? Which one would be least preferred? Bia, right? And that's the halacha. Even though an ish is mekudeshes b'bia, the Gemara says that it's pritzos. That it's a pritzos to do kiddushei bia. The Gemara is going to say in kiddushin, dafir alfer so yudeis, that it's a pritzos. The Tosos discusses why. What's the pritzos about being mekadesh nisha bebia? So what would you say the pritzos is? Why is it such a pritzos? Yeah, but they're not going to have bia once they're married. They're going to have bia once they're married. So what's so terrible about being mekadesh nisha bebia? So machlokas rishonim, Tosos and dafir beis and beis. In Dibur Maskel Mishum quotes two days in Mishonim as to why it's a pritzos. The sheet of Rabbi Mitam is that it's a pritzos because there's Edim involved. That in front of Edim, even if you're not doing the bia in front of Edim, that you have Edim standing outside the room to make sure that there's bia going on inside the room. Pritzos. These things shouldn't be publicized. You know, it's not like we Jews believe that that a person doesn't have to be celibate, and that kedusha does not mean that a person doesn't engage in these things. But it's not water cooler talk, right? It's not the kind of thing we would talk about or we would publicize. So that's the pritzos, Rabbi Natam says. The Ri, however, says that no, that's not the pritzos. The pritzos is that your very first interaction with her, your very first, you know, the way she becomes your wife is going to be with a bia. That's the pritzos. That the you know, kiddushin is the very beginning of the marriage. It's what makes her marry. Let at least the first interaction be something that's not so physical. So if that's what the Ri says, that's going to be the violation of the pritzos. It's a question what the Rishonim deal with is what would you say by yibum. Right? We just say the same pritzos. The Gemara says, why isn't that a pritzos? So, if you say that it's a dinin edim, well, maybe Yibum doesn't need edim. So that's not a pritzos. If you say that it's about your very first connection to her, well, in order for Yibum to happen, you already have to be zakuk liyibum. Zakuk means that the brother already was married to her and then he died, so there's already a zika, there's already a connection. It's not the first thing that's binding these two people. They're already somewhat bound together. And the Yibum's just finishing it. So that's why there wouldn't be that same concern for pritzos. Another type of kiddushin that is discouraged by the Gemara is to be Mekadesh Isha B'Shuk. That to just be Mekadesh Isha, you know, in the market, or to be Mekadesh Isha without having any shiduchin, without having any dating, any courtship in advance. Because then you're already treating it like Kodem Matan Torah. We shouldn't. That's what Gemara is going to say this later on. Daf Samachay that kiddushin changed once the Torah was given, and we should act. We should do a kiddushin that clearly resembles the new, you know, the formalized act of kiddushin, and not the kodem matan Torah form of kiddushin. In order for kiddushin to be chal, you need edei kiddushin. We're going to discuss Eidei Kiddushin are not just to verify that it happened in case there's any debate later on, are they married, are they not married. There is no Kiddushin without Eidei Kiddushin. So the two most important people at the wedding, other than the Chasen and the Kala, are the Eidei Kiddushin. The people that need to be most kosher are the Eidei Kiddushin. I mentioned recently, you know, related to the Tamin Halacha today, that people, I was interviewed on the radio, in some radio show by this fellow, David Lichtenstein. You ever see the book Headlines? It's a book about contemporary halachic topics. He has a radio program called Headlines, and whenever he can't find another guest, he calls me. So he was asking me about cigarettes, and he said, "You really hold this nisa daraisa to smoke?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You're misari kiddushin at weddings sometimes, yeah?" "Yeah." He said, "One of the eidei kiddushin is a smoker. You passel him?" Really put it to me, like, put your money where your mouth is. So I said, I don't think he'd be possible. I think it's an issa d'oraisa. I don't think he'd be possible eidus, even though someone regularly violates an issa d'oraisa, is mumul davar achad is possible eidus. But if a person thinks that what he's doing is mutter, and it's become socially acceptable to do, so I don't think it passes him eidus. It has to be something that everyone realizes is an issa. Would you apostle someone who's not 100% careful about, you know, I don't know, Lashon Hara? Apostle Eidos? No, it becomes socially acceptable. Everyone talks Lashon Hara. So it doesn't make it better, but it makes it that he's not Apostle Eidos. So anyway, that would be my take on it. So in order to be married, you need to have Eidei Kiddushin. It doesn't work without Eidei. The whole marriage doesn't work without Eidei Kiddushin. We learn it from the Pasuk. Pasuk says, Ki Matzava Ervas Davar. And it says, By Dine Mamonos, Al Pi Shnei Eidim, Al Pi Shlosh Eidim, Yakum Davar. So we learn, Davar, Davar, Mi Mamon. Just like the word Davar is used by Mamon, the word Davar is used over here. So therefore, we learn that you need Eidim. Now, in order for a girl to be Mekudeshes, even if she's a Katana, and she's not yet old enough to accept Kiddushin on her own behalf, we're going to learn that in Ha'av Zakai, the father has the zechus to give his daughter over for Kiddushin, and whether she's a Katana or even a Nara, and the father gets to keep the Kes of Kiddushin. And the Rambam paskins this, and the Torah writes this as well, that he gets to keep the Kiddushin straight from the Gemara. The Torah in Ebenezer, Simon Lamed Zayin, where he talks about Kiddushin, it's interesting, he says, the father gets to keep the Kes of Kiddushin, and he's also Zakai b'mitziyaso b'masi yodeha. Whatever mitziyah she has, whatever masi yodeim, the father gets to keep that too. So the Achronim Arba, the Bach, on the side of the Torah says, why is that mentioned over here? The fact that he keep Maisi Adeha and Mitziyasa, that's Chosh Mishpat. What's that doing in the Dinim of Kiddushin? So the Bach suggests very interesting. He says, it mentions it together with Hilchus Kiddushin, because let's say a guy is Mekadish Nisha, not with a pruta, but with something that's worth 1,000 prutos. He gives her a ring that's not worth a pruta. We're knowing to give something that's worth 1,000 prutos. The ring's not that expensive. It's only a couple hundred bucks for a ring. But it's a lot of prutos. A couple hundred bucks is a lot of prutos. So let's say a guy's Mekadesh, a girl who's a katana. So who does he give the Kes of Kiddushin to? To the father, right? So should we say that the father only gets to keep one pruta, because that's all you need for the Kiddushin, and the rest should go to the girl? So says the Bach, that's why the Torah puts it together with Maisi Adeha, Mitziyasa, it all goes to the father. The other prutos, the other 999 prutos that are being given, are low gara, they're no worse than the Maisi Adeha and her Mitziya. So the father gets to get that, to keep that as well. That's why he mentions it in Hilchus Kiddushin. That's what the Bach suggests, why the Torah mentions it. Dafka in Hilchus Kiddushin, but this din that the father gets to receive Kiddushin on behalf of his daughter is learned from the pasuk. Also, we just read as biti nasati lo ish hazeh. So we see that the father has the right to be nosein his daughter to a man. However, once the girl is old enough, she's already bogeres, she's already more than 12 and a half years old, the father has no more rights. Or if the girl ever has nisuin, even though now she's divorced, father lost all rights in the girl. Once she already has left Beis Aviha, she's out of her father's house, the father is no longer has any rights to give her over for Kiddushin. We strongly discourage nowadays for a father to give over a young girl for Kiddushin, obviously. Also, we don't give away 11-year-old girls for Kiddushin. What if she doesn't have a father? Katani Yisoma. So Midah Raisa, no one could give her over for Kiddushin. But Midrabanan, they instituted that her mother and brother can give her over for Kiddushin, but it's only Kiddushin Midrabanan. And because it's only Kiddushin Midrabanan, when she gets older, she could say, I don't want it. That's called miyun. She could say, I'm not interested in the whole thing. I don't want that. I don't want this kiddushin. And she could walk away without a get, without anything. She could be mima'enes when she gets older. If she's not mima'enes when she gets older, so she loses the right anymore to be mima'enes, and she it takes on the full status of a kiddushin mitrabanan, and then when he's boel her after she's already an adult, she becomes mekudeshes min haTorah. So the kiddushin that the mother and brother do for the girl who doesn't have a father can turn into something significant min haTorah. If she doesn't do anything to undo it, it will naturally turn into a real marriage after she's ready, bogeres, after she gets older. An arusa is usher not only to the rest of the world. Arusa means after kiddushin, she's usher not only to the rest of the world because she's neshes ish, she's also usher to her husband. There are two things that happen when a girl gets married. Number one, she becomes usher to everybody else, and number two, she's going to become mutter to her husband. But those don't happen at the same time. At kiddushin, she becomes usher to everybody else. Only at nisuin, at what we call chuppah, she becomes mutter to her husband. That only happens at the chuppah. That's what the Rabbim writes in Paragil Alacha Alf Vilchas Ishus. And the Magen Mishnah just points out, we're going to see a Gemara in Daf Yud this moment. We see a Gemara in Daf Yud where there's going to be a suffix in the Gemara whether Kiddushe Bia makes Erisin or even makes Nisuin, but he says that's only with regard to Yerusha and Tuma and a lot of the other things that we're going to discuss, the Nafkaminas between Erisin and Nisuin. But she's definitely Asura Labaila Ad Shatikan Islachuba. Till you have Chuppah, till you have Nisuin, she's definitely Asura Labaila. So Kiddushin will not make her Muteres Labaila. Okay, great. Now, what is chuppah? So we say, until she has chuppah, she's a... What is this thing called chuppah? So as I mentioned before, very, very odd that it's not discussed in the Gemara. But it's not. It's odd that it's not in the Mishnayis. It should be in the Mishnayis. It's not in the Mishnayis. It's not in the Gemara. So this is a big machlokas rishonim. There are four basic shitos as to what chuppah is. Shitas HaRambam is that bringing her into his house and having yichud with her, that is chuppah. That's nisuin. Now think about that for a second. That's what creates nisuin. Is there a bracha on nisuin? So it's a trick question. There's not a bracha on nisuin. There are seven brachas on nisuin. All seven brachas under the chuppah are the brachas of the nisuin. In general, when you make a bracha and then you do a mitzvah, right? You make a bracha, then you do a mitzvah. So the bracha should be over las yasad, right before the mitzvah. You should do the mitzvah immediately, right after saying the bracha, right? So, as soon as you made the Sheva brachos, if you hold like the Rambam, the yichud is the nisuin, what should you do? Immediately get to the yichud room. So, Rav Shech likes to point out, the lashonos of the Nosi Kelim on the Shulchan Aruch are meritzin es achasim es kala. We run them to the yichud room. Not my experience, right? At weddings, they dance them slowly, and you know, they're hugging the whole world under the chuppah. Rabbi Uligo, he says, get them out from under the chuppah. They're hugging way too many people. Not all those hugs are mutter. You gotta get them. So get them out from under the chuppah. Meritz and run them to the yichud room. That should be what you do. Now, by Svardin, they don't do yichud at the wedding. They only do yichud later. Why? So that's also very interesting. They apparently hold that the brachos are not a birchas mitzvah on the nisuin. So okay, so we have to figure that out. We'll get to that as well. But the Rambam shita is nafkamina lemaisa. He holds that yichud is the marriage. He also, by the way, holds you don't need eidei yichud, because who are the eidei yichud when they go back home that night? They're eidei yichud at the wedding hall. Now why is it taka that Sfardim don't do it right then? So I think the reason they don't do it right then is because if the nisuin were complete, she would have to cover her hair right then and there. So I think they try to avoid that problem. So what we're knowing is what we say that till the bia she doesn't need a full head covering, and the veil is good enough, or something, whatever she has on her head is good enough till then, till the first bia. That's what we're summing on. But anyway, that's Shitas Rambam. The yichud is the nisuin. The Ran in the beginning of Masechet Ksuva says you don't need yichud. You just need him to bring her from her father's house to his house. That bringing her into his house, and this is going to be a major theme that we're going to develop, that nisuin means beso. She is now in her husband's house, Beis Habal, not Beis Ha'av. And that's what that's not only what Nisuin practically accomplishes, that's how you do Nisuin. You do Nisuin by bringing her into his house. That's why some are makbid, to be kona the makam of the chuppah, that the husband should buy the area or rent the area of the chuppah. When he brings her into the chuppah, he's bringing the beis. So that's why some of the minug, that the chassan, when the kala is walking down, the chassan will come out from the chuppah and bring her into the chuppah. Why? That's his bias. That's the nisuin. He's bringing her into his rishus. Rav Shachter writes, Rav Salvechik didn't like that minug. He thought it was basically, it was chukas akum, and they got that from the goyim, that the chassan takes it. Well, the charetz, based on Rishonim, no? He's bringing her into his bayis. Yeah?
Would it be not allowed then for like them to live at her parents' house?
It would be, what do you mean, right when they get married?
Yeah, like.
No, so what we do is we make the chuppah his hachnasa lebeiso. In fact, it used to be the minhag is that they would live by the parents' house, and the parents would support them for the first few years.
Right, but I'm saying specifically her parents, since that it would be still.
That she's still. No, I think once you do the formal nisuin, then you can go wherever you want. It's an interesting point, though. The third approach we showed him have, the Mordechai, I think they attribute this to normally, is that Badekin is the Nisuin. That the putting the veil over her head is the Nisuin, which is also an interesting Shita. If you hold that you need Edim from Nisuin, not like the Shita Saranda, if you hold that you need Edim from Nisuin, and you hold Badekin as the Nisuin, you should have to be Miyachid Edim for Badekin. Every once in a while, yeah, like a brisker chasana, you know, where someone is so machmir for every single shita that they'll have ede badekin. I think one of the Tendler weddings I was at once, the whole family is rabbis. So what are you going to do? Like, how do you, I mean, not just the whole family, family can't give kibbutim to because they can't be edim, so what are you going to do? But all their friends are rabbis, you know, everyone they know is. So they had so many chashma people there, so they made ede badekin, they just had to come up with as many kibbutim as possible. But that's chumra that some people have. Fourth possibility is simply that the chassan and the kala go to a makom amiyuchadahem. This is what the preacher writes in Siman Samech Aleph, that chuppah is a lashon of kisui, that it's nechnasas l'rushuso to be tachas mechape, that he covers over her, that he's megan aleha, that the chuppah itself is megan aleha, that frastak nafecha l'masecha, that he puts something over her to protect her. So it's a special makom that's miyuchad for them, that covers them and protects them. So that's why the chuppah should be a covering. It should be something that actually covers over them. And if that's the case, it's not about his ownership, it's just that's the place for the chassan and kala. That's the place designated. That's why we have a chuppah at our weddings. That's a place that's miyuchad. The chassan and kala go there. So that's the fourth possibility of what nisuin is. But again, very strange that it's so up in the air, that it's so hard to pin down. Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow I want to discuss the difference between an arusa and a nesua, what the halachic differences are. I think I'll give you some arum makomos to look at tomorrow, even though you can keep going. Gemara Rashi tells us here, Daf Beis, but I'll try to give you a couple of arum makomos to look at tomorrow. Maybe not to take up the whole Seder, but just give you an idea of where we're headed. I think there are seven nafkaminas da halacha between an arusa and a nesua, and we're also, Be'ez Hashem, going to get into a little bit Eidos Lekiyum Adavar, the concept of Eidos in Kiddushin versus regular Eidos, the idea of Eidos Lekiyum Adavar versus Eidos that just verifies that something happened. Okay, welcome back. Great to be learning together again.